Hallelujah. I'll be honest with you guys, when I get to that place that I'm at right now, I don't even care anything about preaching. I just want to stay in His presence. I just want to lay in the sun, S-O-N. Amen. I think our children are going to be dismissed to go to children's church. Amen. Hallelujah to His name. Father, we do come before You today. You said in Your word that it's not by might nor by power, but God, it's by Your Spirit. And Father, surely I have sensed Your Spirit in this house today. Father, and I thank You for that. It just confirms to me today to simply know what I'm getting ready to share with this congregation, that God, that You've already confirmed it by being here today. Father, I pray Your power upon every individual that's here today. Let us open up our hearts. Let us open up our minds. And let us just worship You here today. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Thank you guys so much. Wow. Ushered us into the presence of the Lord. Oh man, I tell you, I get like this, I get messed up. I just get all messed up. I want to preach, but I don't want to preach. I want to worship, but I want to preach. I want to sit down, but I want to stand up. I want to be quiet, and I want to say hallelujah. All at the same time. Well, billows of glory sweeping over my soul today. Well, hallelujah. And I'll get straightened out here in a minute. I promise you that. And we'll preach the word of the Lord. I'm not leaving. I'm just getting me some water. Those of you that's on camera, where did he go? He just went to get some water. If you have your Bible, before I tell you what I'm going to preach on, something happened to me years ago, and I hope it happens to you today. But years ago on a Saturday night, I was at a certain place, and something happened to me. And from that day to this day, it forever changed my life. I found out that there was a ghost in my house. And ever since then until now, he's still there. Now, there's a weird thing about happening today in October the 31st. The people want to talk about ghosts and goblins and witches and all that kind of stuff. Well, I'm certainly not here today to tell you how to live your life. I'm not here to tell you how to run your family. I'm only here today as a messenger to talk about a biblical perspective that I feel like that needs to be talked about today. There's a pastor friend of mine, his name is Roy Lee Tucker. I'll give credit where credit's due. He made a statement and he said, "You tell me you can't come to church, but you can dress your children up and send them down the street to a random stranger's house to get a bag of candy. Something wrong somewhere." When we think about the scripture and this catchy little topic, my mind could not help but to go back to John chapter number 4 and see what Jesus himself was saying here in the scripture. He opens this up in verse number 15, and this is what he says in John 14. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love Jesus, a Christian ought to be focusing on doing the things that Jesus said to do more than focusing on the things that the world is doing. And this is why they call me preacher and a pastor. James said that sweet water and bitter water cannot come forth out of the same fountain. Either you is a Christian or you ain't a Christian. He says in verse 16 in this scripture, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another. The word another in the Greek means one like unto the same. As Jesus was to the disciples, so the Holy Ghost is to you and I today. He said he'll give you another comforter. Comforter, of course, we know that word as one who is called along the side to help. He uses the word comforter, whereby we get the word in the Greek again, paraclete. Paraclete is one who is a called alongside to help. That Saturday night that I was in Whittier, North Carolina, and with all due respect, the Holy Ghost invaded me. The Holy Ghost came into my house. He's still there today. Sometimes everywhere you go, you bump into him. You'll be walking through your kitchen and you'll feel a little streak of glory, and there he is. Maybe sitting in the private room and reading a little devotion, and whoop, there he is. He's there. This scripture says, the comforter, that he may abide with you for an hour or two and then he's gone. No. Now, I've got to preach the way I feel it. I think it's very important that your house be invaded, taken over, possessed by the Holy Ghost. It's possessed by something. It is. You, yourself, and I. Or the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that he will abide with you forever. Verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. They don't know this Holy Ghost. Look what it says here. For he... they do not know him, for he dwelleth with you. He'll be with you in the supermarket. He'll be with you in the clothing store. He'll be with you while you're driving down the road in your car. Why? Because there's a ghost living in my house. And he says, and shall be in you. That's very interesting. I like that, don't you? Because there's a Holy Ghost living inside of the Christian. Now, like I told you earlier, I don't want you to get upset with me today, but let me just share some insight into what I kindly reviewed and looked over for this service. Today, of course, is October the 31st, and many people at this time of the year celebrate what is known as demonology. And the most evil, satanic day and night of the year. Now, some of you may not know this name. His name is Anton LaVey. Now, Anton LaVey is the founder of the, what is he? Satanic Church. He's the founder of the Satanic Church. He himself, now you're not going to like what I'm going to say today, some of you, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm trying to give you biblical insight and how that it is very important that we as Christians today, we must draw a line in our life. And we must determine who lives in our house. Anton LaVey, again, the founder of the Satanic Church himself, declared that by dressing up, either that by wearing a costume or coloring oneself up, either way, you are participating in a satanic day, a tantamount to worshiping the devil. His words, not mine. It signifies that you allow and open yourself up to satanic power. He further went on and said that when you adopt the pagan practices, you subconsciously dedicate yourself to the devil. He took joy in Christians who take part in the traditional saying. This is his saying, not mine. I am glad that Christians let their children worship the devil at least one time of the year. Welcome to Halloween. This is not my words, his words. Pagan and Celtic festivals of Satan, I forgot how to pronounce this word. I apologize for that. It says this Celtic and pagan practices, if you will, it's a tradition held at the end of the summer when sacrifices were made to Druid gods, Druid tradition. Now, this particular Shaha, if you will, or however you pronounce that, is the god of death. Went about through this festival scattering evil spirits during this time throughout all the world for the purpose of attacking humans. Again, in witchcraft, Wicca is the official religion of witchcraft. Wiccan adherents believe that on this particular night of October 31st, the separation of the physical and the spiritual realities is at its thinnest and its least guarded moment. It is then that they participate in the practice of necromancy and the abilities to practice speaking to the dead, which you don't need to turn there, which Leviticus 19 and 31 highly prohibits. As Christians spread throughout Europe, it came into conflict with indigenous pagan beliefs, and organized churches basically challenged the established customs by trying to introduce Christian alternatives. Many, although Christians gained some converts, were adamant, so the missionaries succeeded only in Christianizing, if you will, pagan rituals. They were only able to introduce Christian symbols and practices to paganisms and traditions like All Hallows Eve and remembrance of those missionaries that had given their lives at that time, the Christians. The missionaries injected, if you will, All Saints Day, the concept into the pagan Halloween celebration, and they introduced the evening before All Saints Day, which was to recognize the Christian martyrs at this time on All Hallows Eve. Now look at this, when the time of the solemn remembrance, and I'm almost done with this part, it was a time, All Hallows Eve was a time of solemn remembrance of the martyrs, and again, it was a time that they used the word hallowed, which means holy. It was a Christian feast at that time. All Hallows Eve was shortened then by Hallowen, and by Hallowen, they eventually changed it to Halloween. The only difference between the two practices is that the early Christians observed, but they never got involved in wearing the costumes, etc. It was focused on rather solemn, reflect zero on Christian martyrs or the sacrifice of those who've given their life for Christian service. Instead, at this time, we celebrate witches, goblins, and every kind of evil thought that we can. So you may not participate in the evil event or agree with this writing, even men that had symbolized or commercialized death and wickedness and captivities, or took captive the captivities of the young minds of our children today. So you say, well, Pastor, why did you really take the time to read that to us? Well, here's the reason. A couple of the reasons anyway. Again, you have to work out your own situation. I'm not here to try to dictate that. But I do believe that the Bible tells us as Christians that we must be extremely careful in what we allow live in our house, this house. 1 Thessalonians, and you can look at this, and I'll get her to turn to it really, really quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24 says this. And this is why it's very, very important for the church to understand this. Abstain, which means what? Stay away from, get away from, do not participate in, from all the appearance of evil. Now somebody's going to tell me, and please don't get mad at me, I don't know who's dressing up with what, and that's your business, not my business. But somebody says, well, dressing up as a little mermaid ain't hurting nobody. It's not participating in evil. But here's the challenge. They'll know more about the little mermaid than they will Noah and the ark. They'll know more about these secular ideas and concepts if we're not really, really careful how we teach our children in the day and the hour that we're living in. Little mermaid may not be wrong in and of herself, but we have to be careful to give them a correct and biblical perspective. Again, where the Bible says abstain, which means to stay away from all appearance of evil, which means that we are not to participate in those things that are evil. The next verse, 23, it says, and the very God of peace to sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Ephesians 5 and 11 tells us this. This is why it's so very, very important for you and I to be very careful on this particular time to who we are allowing to actually take control or actually dominate or actually influence not only our life but the life of our children. Now again, I'm not one of those fuddy-duds and I'm against everything. That's not who I am. We are living in a different day. We are living in a dark day, a wicked day, and all kinds of craziness that is all around us today. Moms and dads, if your children are not getting it at the schoolhouse, the truth, they need to be getting it at your house. And they're not going to be getting the information that you need to be giving them biblically at the schoolhouse. So you and I have to take responsibility to give it to them at our house. Again, not only does he say that in 1 Thessalonians, but Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove or rebuke them. Which again, to me, would teach us one more time not to participate in the unfruitful works of darkness. Not to participate in the things that I read to you earlier as far as evilness and wickedness and things that God would not have us to participate in. So what do we do today in the hour that we're living in? Romans chapter 12 and 21 says these very words that it teaches us again for you and I not to be overcome with evil. Can I just admonish you this evening and let you know, or this morning, let you know we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're always going to have influences of the world all around us and all around our children. We cannot put our children in a bubble. We cannot make our children be freaks and unnormal and things of that nature, because our children still have to go to school and they still live in our world. But it's our responsibility to teach our children right from wrong and good from evil. Again, when you look in Romans 12 and 21, this is what the scripture says. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So no matter what you do today, no matter how today works out, again, the New Living Translation says, don't let evil conquer you. Don't let evil somewhere. And you live in a body that possesses a spirit. How does that take place? I couldn't help but to go to John chapter 3. And again, I don't have time to really spend a whole lot of time there. But it was when Jesus had encountered an individual by the name of Nicodemus. You know the story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus and came to Jesus by night. He found Jesus there and he began to talk to him and called him good master, and he acknowledged him there, and he came back and he said that, I know that you're a ruler came from God. Then Nicodemus had this question about being born again. In verse number 3 of John 3, he says these words, and Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Born again. That's interesting. Have you been born again? How do you know you've been born again? Wow. He said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I could take the time and spend the rest of my time talking about this today. If you go back into John chapter 1, we're not going to go there. But if you read John chapter 1, there was a great light. That light was Jesus. And the Bible said that the darkness comprehended it not, because men love darkness rather than light. Being born again, when I think about this, being born again cannot even understand or comprehend. Those that are not born again cannot even understand what it means to be born again, because the darkness had blinded the minds of the people. That's why you walk around today and you see so many people that are living the way that they're living, is because they're walking today in so much darkness. But God has not called you and me, the church, to live in this darkness. Amen. We've been born again. As I mentioned Wednesday night or last Sunday, whichever service it was, it's not turning over a new leaf. It's not just being reworked, if you will. It's not just being recreated, if you will. Well, it is kind of being recreated. But God takes you, that person that you are, and God makes a brand new you out of you. That's what happened to you when you were born again. Every desire you ever had to please yourself, every desire you had to please your flesh, every desire you ever had to do what you wanted to do, all of a sudden it dies at the altar. All of a sudden, everything within you, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, not I, but Christ that lives within me. He puts to death that enmity that existed between us and God. And we become alive in the spirit man. And what at one time we did not even know was within us, now we have an earnest desire to do one thing, and that earnest desire is to please God Almighty. Nicodemus was told, and Jesus, again, he was sharing this with him. Again, when you look at this scripture, he kind of just, let me run through this really fast. And Jesus said in verse number 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Your spirit man is born again. That man that you were born with was a carnal man. You can go to Romans 6 and read that. I don't have time to do that this morning. But God has taken that carnal man and God has washed it and he cleansed it. And now you have become a brand new person in him. Let me go back to my text again. There's a ghost living in you. The Holy Ghost. I know there's a difference between the wooing and the drawing of the Holy Ghost. the wooing and the drawing of the Spirit that draws you to Christ. Jesus said, come unto me. He's drawing. James says, draw nigh to God and God will draw. There's a drawing. There's a drawing. Sherry and I was talking about it over the last few days that when you wasn't even saved and you wasn't even born again, that there's a wooing, there's a drawing there. And at that time, the Bible says, except we have the Spirit, that we're none His. So Jesus, again, He comes and He draws. And when you get born again, He comes and He lives in your heart. Except you have a born-again experience, you're none His. Again, the Bible says that again, born of the Spirit, born of the Holy Ghost, born of the Spirit of God that draws you and He woos you and He draws you to salvation. Again, when we look at this, we see in John 16 in the text that I read to you earlier, or part of the text in John 16, excuse me. He says this in 16 and 8. This is what the world the Bible says. Let me go back to verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. And if I depart, I will send Him unto you. At this time, the Holy Ghost had not yet been poured out. They did not have the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost like you and I have today. That happened in the upper room when they were gathered together in the upper room. Those that was there, that 120 that was there in the upper room that day. And they had a Holy Ghost encounter that day. And so John, Jesus here writing in John 16, says these very words. He says, and when He has come, He will reprove, rebuke the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Look in verse 9. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you shall see me no more. Then He says, of judgment because the prince of the world is judged. And I have yet many things to say unto you that you cannot bear now. Again, the Bible, when the Holy Ghost comes, He will reprove the world of their sins. What does that word mean? I looked it up. You know what it means? It means to show. He will reprove the world of their sins. Does anybody in the room besides me remember the day you were born again? Do you remember the day that you were saved and God, by revelation of the power of the Spirit, revealed unto you that you were lost and that you needed to be saved, that you needed to be born again? I want to say it like this, hallelujah, and what a great experience for God letting me know that I needed to be born again. My nature had to change. The inside of me had to change. It's not just that I turned over a new leaf. That's not even a good description. But God took everything within me, and God came to live in my house by the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody says today, well, this is, I get tickled. I get tickled sometimes, and I've said this before. And I don't even know if I wrote the scripture down correctly. I guess I did, but somebody talks about, spirit guides. They go and they look at Hocus Pocus, and they look into their crystal balls, and they do the cards, and they do the lines in their hands, and people today, and they'll pay $5 for somebody that just ripped them off trying to tell. Listen, if I was a card reader, I wouldn't be waiting on somebody to come in my booth for $5. I'd be going playing lottery tickets, people, and getting big bucks. I wouldn't wait on somebody to come by for $5. So he says, I want a spirit guide. I want a spirit guide, the world. And I thought to myself as I preached Sherry this message going up down the road yesterday, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost is your spirit guide. The Bible says that He will, this is what the Word says, He will guide you into all truth. You want to be guided today by something? Let the Ghost come and live in your house. Let the Holy Ghost come and live in your house. You'll never go wrong. Again, when we look at this in the scripture in John chapter 16, this is what the Word says. He says in verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. You want a spirit guide? On Halloween? Come to the altar. Get a hold of God. Get Jesus in your heart. Get Jesus in your life. And I'm going to say it the way I feel it. Let the ghost live in your house again. Let the Holy Ghost come and live in your house. Somebody says, I'm having such a hard time. We all have a hard time. But it's a whole lot easier when the Holy Ghost is living there. Now, let me hurry through this. We see where the word says He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, Jesus said, and He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. And all things that the Father hath are Mine, therefore, said I, that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you. A little while and you shall not see Me, and again a little while and you shall see Me, because I go to My Father. So how do we get this Holy Ghost? The Bible teaches us that the Holy Ghost is a free gift. Ask Him. He says in the Word, and I'll have to turn there really fast to look it up, but He says there in the Word about how that if you'll ask God that you and I, that we shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This again is in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 following. When you look at that in the Word, this is what He says. He said, then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you respectfully that receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, watch this, and please don't get mad at the preacher, is for more than for you to speak in tongues of the Holy Ghost. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost will keep you living right. For this promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, this is the last section. The Bible says, if you look at this in the word of the Lord in our text in John 14, we read that in verse number 17. Even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive, because he seeth him not, knoweth him not. But ye know him. You know him. I like that, don't you? You know when he's there and you know when he's not there. You know him. He dwelleth. The word dwelleth is host. Host. You host the Holy Ghost. Your body is the host. He comes and he lives in your heart. He lives in your life. He fills you up. For he dwelleth. The word dwelleth, again, when you look at that, it's a word that means to inhabit one or to make his abode with. There's a ghost in my house. He says he's a dwelling. It's a dwelling place. It's an indwelling. He lives there. It's a habitation. Now, again, if I had another 30 minutes to preach, I'd take the time to go back there and do this. When Jesus came and encountered the demoniac of Gadara, Jesus was there, and Jesus confronted those whose name was Legion, and he cast the Legion out. They went into the herd of swine, and they ran down the bank. They went violently into the water. They drowned in the water down there. But here's the thing. The demonic power had to have a host, and they were in the pigs. If a demonic power leaves a person's residence, they'll leave. You can get them out. You can cast the devil out. But here's the concern. He's got to stay out. What you got delivered from, you've got to stay delivered from. I got to say it the way I feel it. You can't dabble a little here and dabble a little there a little there, a little everywhere, just a little. If God delivers you from something, you best stay away from it. Because that spirit, that evil spirit, is still there. He will go out. He'll search through dry places. And if he finds no place to rest, guess what happens? He comes back to the original place that he was cast out of. It's called temptation. He'll come back again. Not only does he come back alone, but he brings seven of his partners with him, and it's seven times stronger than it was in the origin and in the beginning. Here's the way I look at that. If God ever frees you and delivers you from alcohol or addiction or anything else, whatever it drugs or whatever, you cannot even dabble. You cannot even entertain it. You cannot even open the gate to it. You cannot even open the door to it. Keep it locked. Thank you. I mean, put a padlock on it. You say, why in the world did you ever say that? Because as much as the Holy Spirit has a host, that devil has a host. Now let me share this with you before we leave this morning. It means to inhabit one or abode, a dwelling place, indwelling, take up residence. He lives there, habitation. Look in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to turn there because there are several other verses associated with this. I only wrote down one, but I know there's a few others that goes along with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you can read that whole thing. And he talks about in verse number 11, and he says, and some were, let me back up for a minute. Let me go back into verse number 9. Let me just read this really fast. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. I wish I had time to preach right there. Somebody say amen. You know what that is. I don't have to say it. And then he says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, revilers, those that like to rebel, rouse, and fight, nor extortioners inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, you're not making it to heaven. He says in verse number 11, and such were some of you. Don't look around. But ye were washed, but you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Are we doing okay? Now, in this scripture text, he teaches us that God lives and abides and abodes in our bodies. Look at this. He says in, again, I don't have time to break all that down, but read verses 12 down through verse 20. I've got to hurry. He said, all these things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Those things that I just mentioned to you. Meats for the belly and belly for the meats, and God shall destroy both in them. Now the body is not for fornication, but the body, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And he says, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his own power. Look in verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Somebody say that with me. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Your bodies. What you do in your body matters. Are you with me today? And he says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? And then he says, shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. Look in 16. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. We're joined to God by the Spirit. And this is what he says. He says, flee fornication, every sin that a man doeth without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Look at verse 19. What? That's a question mark. It's time to think. It's time to pause. It's time to ponder. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? What does that mean? That means your body is designed for a ghost to live in your house. Let me add that it's the Holy Ghost, not any ghost, not any spirit, not the devil's spirit, not a demonic spirit, but the Holy Spirit. God designed it for the Holy Spirit to live in your house. That's the only way God designed it, even in the beginning when Adam and Eve was in the garden. God designed it so that he would have relationship with Adam and Eve. Sin came and sin broke down and sin destroyed. But through Jesus and through the Holy Ghost and through the power of the blood, God designed it one more time for you to be filled with the Spirit of the living God. Are we okay? I'm almost done. He says, and know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? A temple has to have a place to dwell. The Holy Spirit lives in the temple. He has to have a place to dwell. Watch this. Is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is, what does he say, in you, which you have of God and not you of yourself. Look at this. Verse number 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I'm going to quit right there. I'm not done, but I'm going to quit. Who's living in your house? Who's living there? Somebody says, well, the Holy Ghost is living in my house. How do you know that? I can prove it biblically. Go to Galatians 5. She don't need to turn there, but you can go there. You can read down there along verses 22, 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Look at her. She's so good. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Look in 23. Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law or there's no constraint. Who's living in your house? How are you living today? Are you living under the dominance, control, life of the Spirit of the living God? Or is there some of this stuff that I mentioned in the beginning? Now you think, well, Pastor, this is Thomasville Church of God, and you know everybody here. I would dare say that everybody in this room is living under the dominance of the power of the Holy Ghost. I would say that. But I don't know you outside of these doors. You don't know me outside of these doors. She does. I'm in accountability to my wife. Talk to her anytime you want to. I don't care. She has no secrets, and neither do I. But we've got to, if we're going to have a ghost in our house, if we're going to have a spirit living in our house, let it be the Holy Ghost. Let it be Him. Well, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were there with all, with one mind and one accord. And the Bible says, and the Holy Ghost filled the house where they were sitting. God was in this house, Hannah, when y'all were singing. You ushered in the presence. Not you, but y'all's obedience to the Holy Ghost. And God needs a vessel, by the way. I'm done, I reckon. What's living in your house? Who's living in your house? Long years ago, as I said in the beginning, there was a ghost living in my house, and he's still there. He witnesses day by day, sometimes hour by hour. Julie, he's a restoring Holy Ghost. He done a work in you this morning. I don't know what he was doing. He was working on you. I wonder if there's anybody in the room says, he can work on me anytime he wants to. That's what I say today. Holy Ghost, just work on me anytime you want to. Take away the drouth. Take away that part of me that is unlike you. Hey, can I tell you something? And I'm done. Jesus is coming soon. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Amen? Everybody seems to be fretting and worried, and if you're going to get anything for Christmas, you better get it now, because by Christmas there ain't going to be nothing left. Boo-hoo, hoo-hoo, boo-boo, hoo-hoo. Sorry. Ain't no kids in here I don't reckon that can understand me. I ain't worried about stuff like that. I'm worried about where I'm going to spend eternity. I'm not worried about another this or another trinket and another something that you're going to end up putting in a yard sale just before long anyway. Because you got something that you can't even wear and something that don't even fit and something you didn't even want to begin with. You're just trying to figure out how to get rid of it nicely. Stand up with me. Do you love the preacher? I tell you, I had to deliver my heart today. Let God live in you. I'm going to preach tonight at 6 o'clock. The message that I'm going to preach tonight, does one day matter? Come back tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll figure that out. Does one day matter? Father, in Jesus' name, we love you. I thank God for your Holy Ghost that possesses us, takes over us, fills us, keeps us, comforts us, leads us, guides us. All the things that the Holy Ghost is and all that He does. Father, I pray that even now, oh God, right now, that You would touch this congregation. Father, I give You all the praise and the glory and the honor. Father, give us an earnest desire to serve You. In all that we do, God, let us please You. Father, we love You, we honor and we praise You. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Let me get Ron Fowler out the door at the water fountain, Ron. If you want to talk to Ron for a minute and he needs a little help this weekend or Tuesday, talk to him. He'll help you. God bless you. Have a great day. Talk to you soon.